Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Hey, friends. Hey, welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I'm Lee Brown, and I've got Kevin Holmgren with me today as we do our best to tell you all the things that you don't even know happen in real estate, because frankly, those of us in real estate don't know what's going to happen from day to day either. And that's,
we never do.
Frankly, the fun about the business. So Kevin, tell everybody where you're located, how long you've been around the business, any little details they should know.
Well, I work for Real Estate One in Southgate, Michigan. We are the largest broker in the state of Michigan. Very happy with my broker. I love working for them. The five best years of my career have been these last 5 years since I've been with this broker. And I'm treated well. I'm trained well. It allows me to help the public better than I did before. And that's really what it's all about. It's helping people.
Is Southgate near Northfield?
No.
Okay.
We're in the Downriver area. We're south of Detroit.
Gotcha. Northfield's like my favorite town, especially at Halloween. Have you ever been over there at Halloween?
I have not, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Drive over there, take the kids, and go look at the skeletons. It's the cutest little downtown ever, and I bet they're creative in a COVID year, thinking of different cool things to do to give people something to look at.
Yeah, you have to be. We live in a different world. I mean, I don't know what it was like for you this year, but for us, it was crazy. I mean, with the state of Michigan, we were locked down for 6 weeks. There were only two states out of 50 that were completely locked down. The state of Michigan said we're not, you know, essential, not essential enough. But you know, we still got business done. I mean, we still got business done during this lockdown. We were locked down for 6 weeks. I'm probably about 50% ahead of where I was last year, despite missing 6 weeks of business. And, you know, we didn't have enough houses on the market before all this hit, and we certainly didn't have enough after it hit. And it was crazy. I mean, houses were staying on the market for hours.
Funny part. It's like COVID hit. It feels like pre-COVID was 100 years ago. But if we're able to look all the way back to February, that was the biggest issue in real estate in February, was not enough to sell. Mm-hmm. And then you fast forward to, well, starting at about May, because everybody was in that what's going on zone in March and April, we've had the same issue of not enough to sell and not changing anytime soon. So
I can't speak for the market in North Carolina, but it's no different here now. We still don't have enough houses on the market. It doesn't matter what the price point is. It just reemphasizes that, you know, you need to have a professional with you if you're going to go out look for a house right now. It takes everything we can do to get an offer accepted right now. It's crazy. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's all those things that lead us all to an early grave, I think.
Well, it is interesting. If you look at the data nationally, and of course, we're recording this episode at the end of October, friends, in 2020, if you happen to be listening or watching it later. The only markets that seem to be having some hiccups are your very dense urban downtowns, because, of course, we don't really know what the commercial real estate market's going to look like in the next iteration of the economic climate. But the residential market everywhere else has been just fantastic, and used to be that homeowners competed with builders a lot. But we're seeing that even if our builders are able to pull permits, the cost of materials has gone way up. And
yeah.
And frankly, I think it's kind of interesting that so many builders around the country are trying very hard to keep realtors away from their buyers. They don't really want them to have buyer reps, which that's probably a whole different episode discussion about that piece. But there's a reason you want a realtor with you, as Kevin has mentioned. So in your journeys of real estate, I'd love to know, when people ask you what happened that was unexpected, which is frankly, everything's unexpected in real estate, but what's the crazy story you have that you think the public ought to hear about so they can say, are you for real?
There's a few. I had the best one, I think, of all time. We had an open house scheduled for a house this is a previous broker. Saturday, we're going to have the open house. So I was there, did the open house on Saturday, didn't get an offer or anything. I left at the end of the day, didn't take the sign down. So that sign sits there all week. Open house Saturday. So the next Saturday rolls around. You know, my buyer is, or my seller rather, is going about his Saturday. And, you know, someone walks in the front door. You know, he just happened to step right out of the shower. And there's strangers sitting right in his house because I didn't take the sign down. So
they didn't knock and ring the doorbell. They just wandered in.
Nope, they just barged right in. It was open house. It's open. Don't bother knocking. Just come right on in.
Manners, people, manners.
I know. you know, everyone laughed about it except for me. I was having when I heard about it at our office meeting, I was having one of those, want to get away moments. Everyone thought it was just hilarious. I turned a very, very solid shade of white because I was mortified. I mean,
of course.
You don't want to put somebody in a situation and just think about how that could have ended. I mean, it could have been way worse than just, laughing it off, and it was embarrassing. I mean, it could have been tragic. I don't like making light of it, but, it's funny now. It just wasn't at the time for me.
Well, it's interesting because, like, it's a small mistake, right? So on the surface, it's a sign got left out, golly gee willikers, but you do look at the unintended consequences, mm-hmm. the sheer coincidence of time that you mm-hmm. have your seller stepping out of the shower at the moment when some rando walks through the door without the common courtesy of knocking or ringing the bell. And holy smokes. And so how did you dig your way out of that with that seller? Because they had to have been furious and embarrassed themselves.
The fortunate thing is it was one of the other persons in the office's listing. So it wasn't even my client.
I was holding open for somebody.
My broker didn't believe in the whole concept of being able to serve two masters. I mean, in Michigan, you have agency representation. You have buyer representative, you have a seller representative, or you can have a dual representative. This broker didn't believe in dual representative. You can't give 100% effort to a buyer and a seller. That was their philosophy. Okay. But anyhow, you were not allowed to hold open your own listings. So we held open each other's listings, and they weren't very happy about it, but like I said, everybody else seemed to laugh about it. I didn't think it was very funny.
So this is the thing that professional realtors run into, is that the unexpected things just happen all the time. And sometimes you lose the client over it and sometimes you don't. And it's the ability to stay calm and then frankly say, I screwed up. So did the agent who had the listing, have you called the seller, or did they just cover for you?
They had to call the seller. This was all done before. I mean, all these smoothing over was done before it was even brought to my attention. So, I mean, I got very, very fortunate there, but it was awful.
What did you change about your open houses after that?
Well, checklist. I had a checklist. Make sure you grab the signs. Make sure you grab the or leave out the brochures, because people are still going to come through to see the house. It's not going to be an open house, but we're still going to have showings. So make sure all the materials are there. But take that sign with you. And to be honest, I haven't held too many open houses in the last couple of years. It just, in our market, it doesn't really seem necessary because houses are going so fast. You don't have time to have an open house.
Well, the good thing about an open house in a low inventory market is it can be a chance for people to have a moment to see the house, if their agent's unavailable, where the seller can have their aggravation minimized. But of course, COVID has changed a lot of that because I'm one of the people who's super grateful that open houses have gone the way of the dodo in the COVID era. Although it can be convenient on the surface, in COVID, that's going to mean more people in the house. It's going to mean more proximity.
You got to wear the mask the whole time. You're limited as to number of people you can bring in. And it's like, the thing is, you have to be mindful of, people are still living in that house.
The way it should be all along, frankly, because I do think people forget sometimes that when they're looking at houses, somebody lives there. Now, if it's vacant, of course, that's a different scenario, but then we're worried about security and safety still. Mm-hmm. But that person who walked through the door thinking there was an open house, I'm still kind of shocked that they didn't have the decency to ring the doorbell.
Well, I'm a little shocked that that they didn't lock the door while they're in the shower. I mean, I always do that. I mean, if I'm in the shower, I'm locking the doors,
Lock the doors. I live on 10 acres. We never lock up. I mean, I have to lock up now that I've said that on my podcast. But in general, I mean, some people do have the ability to live an unlocked lifestyle, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean
this particular seller did. I mean, that's for sure.
It's actually a good sign of the neighborhood they live in that they feel safe leaving the doors unlocked.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a nice community, but still, it was embarrassing for me. The management, they kind of chuckle out of it. I have never felt more humiliated. It just made me more aware of little things, just the details, everything's in the details, right? The whole thing's in the details.
Well, and that's probably the key to real estate, right? Is you never know what you're going to run into, but you have to learn how to adapt for the future. So
right.
The thing that if you're a consumer out there listening to this, it's a great idea to, if you're interviewing realtors, ask them what kind of checklist they have, what kind of details do they focus on? Because for a lot of realtors, they're amazing at connectivity and relationships, and they may have a ton of knowledge locked up in their head, but details not their strong suit, because for realtors in general, details are not what our people are good at. But when you find somebody who's made mistakes and learned from it, that's a professional that you want, because your house may have the next unexpected situation and we've got to learn how to adapt to it.
I always tell my people, don't expect perfect. What you can expect from me is my best effort, you know, sound judgment. I'm going to give you good advice. If I don't have an answer, I'm going to find an answer. You know, that's what you're going to get from me. But if you're expecting perfect, I mean, that's, you know, I don't operate that way. Once I start doing perfect, I mean, no one can afford me. That's kind of how I look at it.
We'll call your episode that. Don't expect perfect with Kevin.
Well,
it's fantastic marketing.
Expect real. That's kind of what I try to tell people. Just expect real. I'm gonna give you my best effort. You know, we can do everything right and still get things wrong. It's that's the world we live in. That's the business.
If it were possible to be perfect, nobody would need a realtor.
No, not really. And if being a realtor was easy, everybody would do it.
Well, everybody tries, but not everybody survives. Yeah. Which that's one of the reasons for the high turnover in our business.
Right.
It looks so easy on HGTV.
It sure does. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think, you know, shows like Property Brothers and, you know, Flip or Flop and stuff like that, they're great entertainment. Million Dollar Listing. That's my favorite one. Those guys don't do anything different than every other realtor I know. The number of zeros on the property. You know, they're dealing in seven digits. You know, I'm dealing in six. You know, sometimes five. But
I'm not ashamed of my trailer houses, but you know, even those have gone up in a low inventory environment.
Absolutely. Okay. You know, I have a guy right now that sold a house for $75,000, bought it rather 4 years ago. He's putting it on the market, and it's crazy how much he's going to be able to get for it. You know, it's, you know, 25% value in 4 years. That's not bad.
Which, mentioning that, I mean, we're seeing a problem in our market with affordability for first-time buyers, for workforce folks, for a service industry, having a hard time getting into the market because it's so expensive. Are you seeing anything innovative and creative in your area that's addressing that issue?
You know, the state has programs for first-time home buyers. I mean, that's the greatest thing ever invented. What we hear is going to be coming down the pike. You know, depending on who wins the election, that might happen on a much larger scale. Who knows? The ability for people, private and public, to step in and being able to help first-time buyers, I think, is huge. I mean, I closed on a house the other day. The owner, the buyer's 22 years old. When I was 22, I wasn't thinking about buying a house at 20. He bought a house at 22. He got tired of renting.
Made you want to go back and fuss at your 22-year-old self, didn't it? And say, man, we should have bought something.
I take 22-year-old myself out a lot and have conversations with him. So, yeah, 22-year-old me was about to graduate from college and had no clue what he wanted to do. And, you know, this is where he ended up. So.
You know, it is funny. We have a realtor in Louisiana who bought his first investment property while he was in college, because, you know, sometimes the properties around a college campus can be slightly in need of love and they might be slightly less expensive than market. But he found a way to get into the market, buying a house with a credit card. And the first time I heard Matt's story, I'm like, Matt Ritchie, are you serious? And he said, yeah. And he told me how he made it work. And I was like, I wish I'd had the foresight then that we all get when we're, you know, medium aged. But if you're listening to this and you're younger, you should actually call one of us older realtors, because we'll tell you all the things we wish we had done and help you get ahead of where we were.
Right. Absolutely. You know, buying a house at 22, I mean, you're setting yourself up for the rest of your life. You know, but here at 22, he says to me, you know, I'm just tired of, you know, you can't find me anything to rent. I mean, we had a hard time finding something to buy. It was even worse trying to find something to rent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he's like, well, do I pay $1,200 a month to rent this place, or do I pay $850 a month to own it? I don't know. That's a tough choice.
So, Kevin, if somebody's looking for a realtor who's going to be super honest and not perfect with them and give them all the advice he should have given his 22-year-old self, and they happen to be downriver of Detroit and Southgate, Michigan, or its surrounding environs, how can they reach you?
Well, you can reach me, KevinGetsResults247 at gmail.com. That's my email address. Call me on my cell. I'll give that number out to you right now, too, 734-642-8635. I work with buyers, work with sellers. Just, you know, I'm in it for the long haul.
Perfect. Well, y'all, I know you didn't write any of that down. That's fine, because all of his information's in the show notes for this episode. So you can reach out anytime, ask questions about Michigan, see what Kevin knows and what he'll share with you, and what can make your real estate life better. Kevin, thank you for coming on the show and for sharing the story. I hope that the seller who went through the scenario hears this episode and says to himself, I'm so glad he didn't use my name.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare. All names are changed to protect the innocent. So
and the guilty. I mean, we protect
and
innocent.
And the guilty. Got to take care of them too.
But thank you for coming on the show. I'll see you in person at some point when we are able to see people again.
I'm so looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day, Kevin.
You too. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. 5 stars, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.